comes out like this. What is the whole member of the Gemara? What's the member of the Gemara? The Gemara wants that person is energetic and muzeh. Person is lazy and games. It means to say like this. It's an interesting thing. It means to say there's two types of perfections. There's a perfection of the psyche, and then there's a perfection of the soul. Now, of course, the real perfection of the soul has to always involve a perfection of the psyche as well, a perfection of the emotions as well. Not possible. A person should be perfected, and still, insofar as the emotions are concerned, he should have defects. It's an impossibility. It means that one part of his nature is not moving along with his perfection. If a person appreciates the learning, appreciates Talmud Torah, it's impossible to say that he's a perfected individual, but he's too lazy, he doesn't learn. And it's an impossibility, there's something wrong. Something wrong. So it's impossible to really have perfection unless a person's emotions move along with his way of thinking. If there's one part of him that lags behind, that is not being drawn by the ideas, it's obviously an imperfection so far as the person's concerned. Okay? But nevertheless, there's a split. You see, there still is a split. And the Gemara is saying a very interesting thing. The Gemara is saying that you could have a person that is perfected, in a sense. I mean, you can't use the word, we're using the word perfection loosely. But you can have a person that knows what the ideas are. He knows what the ideas are. He knows the correct ideas. But a part of his nature doesn't move along with those ideas. You see. So, for instance, a person that is lazy, he's a shuffle. That's what the Gemara calls him, a shuffle. The Gemara doesn't call him an atzlan, even though it means he's lazy. A shuffle means he's on a low level. He's not on the level where his emotions follow his intellect. You see. But nevertheless, a person like that will be misguided. He will be better off than the Zoros. He'll be better off than the energetic person who's productive. Most people look at a person as a productive person. So that's why that's the way they gauge him. They gauge him totally in terms of whether he's productive, whether he's not productive. But they fail to investigate the realm of his productivity. So the Gemara, that's what the Gemara means. The Gemara means Yesh Zoriz V'Nifsa. You have a person who's very productive. So everybody looks at him as a very productive human being. Working, accomplishing, doing. But the Gemara says it's nonsense, because in terms of the ultimate aim and goal in life, he's not being productive. So he says an ifsa. But then you can have an individual who is weak emotionally. He's not a productive individual. He's lazy. He can't get himself together. But this individual will have more reward, will be a niska, will have more reward than the productive individual. Why? Because in terms of the aim, the ultimate aim of life, he recognizes the true value system. So even though he doesn't, he's not a productive individual all week long, he never does anything, but Erev Shabbos, he appreciates the fact that it's Erev Shabbos, and even though he wouldn't get a sudden burst of energy if it wasn't Erev Shabbos, he wouldn't do anything, but nevertheless, he still abstains from Malach Erev Shabbos. You see, you could prove it from the other case, because the Gemara says there's a shuffle of a nifsa. There's a person that's lazy and is a nifsa, a luzet. Who's the person that's lazy and luzet? There's a person that doesn't work all week, and also, and he works in Shabbos, he works Erev Shabbos. So what does it mean he works Erev Shabbos? How is it possible if he's lazy? It means to say that basically he's a lazy individual. But every now and then he gets a sudden burst of energy. But if that burst of energy will come on Erev Shabbos, he'll work on Erev Shabbos. Which means to say, it shows you that the philosophical idea of Erev Shabbos is completely alien to him. So he's an ifsad, he's on the lowest level. But a person that doesn't work, he's lazy, but he will not work Erev Shabbos. In other words, even though his abstention from Malacha on Erev Shabbos is because of the fact, essentially the fact that he's lazy plays a role, but nevertheless his soul still has the recognition of the concept of Erev Shabbos. So this person is a niska. This person is greater than the productive individual in society who everybody looks up to. He's a productive man. He works all week. He comes home the last minute right before Shabbos. You see? That individual that society looks up to, Chazal say no, on the contrary. An individual is a non-productive individual in the society, but he has a concept of Erev Shabbos, and he knows he has a low energy level, but he'd never work Erev Shabbos. He won't work on Erev Shabbos. So it means that in the back of his mind, he has an appreciation of the true value system, even though he's imperfected in terms of his emotions. Even though he's imperfected in terms of his emotions, who is the greater individual? The lazy person. That's the Gemara. Yesh Zoris v'Nifsad is the person that's an energetic, productive individual in society in the Nifsad, and you have a lazy person that everybody looks down upon. He's a nothing, he doesn't do anything, he's a bottler, everybody talks against him, they have no respect for him. But he is the one that's a niskar because alongside of his laziness is a recognition of the idea. It's Erev Shabbos today. The thought crosses me. He may have even said, that's why I'm not working. So the point is, that's what Chazal means. So the Rosh says, so the Rosh uses this Gemara, an interesting Gemara, the Rosh uses this Gemara to explain the contradiction. But he says like this. Now, where it says "lo'olam yasok adam b'torah mitzvah shelo lishma," that a person should work and should be involved and should put his efforts into Torah mitzvahs, even shelo lishma. So the Rosh says that's like that person in the Gemara over there, that's a lazy person, and Erev Shabbos he doesn't work, which means to say that it's not his sole motivation. You see, That's l'olam yasok odam b'torah mitzvah fulish lo l'shma. It means it's multi-determined. It's not its sole motivation. So then a person should do it. Why? Because shemitoch shelo l'shma bo l'shma. Because for this person, it's possible once he gets involved in Torah mitzvahs that it will awaken his nature, which appreciates his inner nature and the inner appreciation of the true system. You see. But the Rosh says if a person really goes out and to involve himself in Torah only for the purpose, exclusively, he's a Zoris. His purpose only, he's singularly determined. And his purpose is simply in order to gain in terms of his name or his fame or his honor. Then it's then it's absolutely worthless. So that's an interesting thing that Chazal differentiated. The Rosh makes that differentiation between a person who is psychologically multi-determined and a person who is singularly determined. If he's multi-determined, then it's good. Then Shelo Lishma is fine. He recognizes it means to say actually it fits into the Gemara very nicely because the Gemara says Olam Yasok Adam. The Torah of mitzvahs, afilu shelo lishma, shemitoch shelo lishma bosan. What does it mean? Who's it talking to? It has to be referring to somebody. So it means it's telling the person, even though the person makes up in his mind, and he says like this, even though I know that I enjoy the kavod, I enjoy the kavod, because shelo lishma means kidei shehei nikarav. I enjoy the kavod, but he knows that that's not really the essence of the limud. It's an emotional weakness on his part. Really say, you should know. But if his sole motivation is for the purpose of covet, then it's no chlosh lo nivah. Then it's simply a waste of time. It's worthless. Not even worse than worthless. That's the way the Rosh explains it. What? It will never lead to anything. He might as well not do it. It's not going to lead to anything. So therefore, we have to say like this: when Rashi says. Can't find the Rashi, but I remember there's a Rashi. Rashi, it's Tesfos, it's showing Tesfos, that Shelo Lishma means, let's God, they look, Tesfos, the word, Nazir? Nazir, right. Yeah, I think it's a Rashi also. That's Shelo Lishma. Kidei Shehei Nikarav. And over here, Rashi says, in Avos, Rashi says that a person is Lomed Almanas Lalamed, Likroso Rebbe Yilachabda. So the difference is like this. The difference is where it's exclusive motivation, Shehei Nikarav. So then it's worthless. That's a lomed al menach lelamed, ein maspikin biyado a lomed lamed. Then they don't give him the opportunity to be a melamed, because his sole motivation is covet. But if it's multi-determined, in other words, he recognizes that he has an emotional weakness, like the lazy person. But that's not really his full motivation. That's another motivation. He wants to learn. He wants to do the right thing. So then it's maspikin biyado lomar lamed. Maspikin biyado lomar lamed. So that it could be, in other words, it's not even a machlokes. It's not even a machlokes. The question is whether you say lilmod al menas lelamed means that's his exclusive motivation, or only it's a side motivation. That's the difference. Okay. You see, right after that, the Gemara says, Rava Rami. Rava asks the question. See if you got la chamayim chasdecha. So one pasuk says that God's chesed is up to the heavens. The other pasuk says that his chesed is above the heavens. How's it possible? It's a contradiction. Kan ba'osim l'shmo, v'kan ba'osim shelo l'shmo. Ukid Rav Yehuda, don't Rav Yehuda Rav, lo l'nyasa kodam, the Torah mitzvah zav fi shelo l'shmo, shemotel shelo l'shmo bo l'shmo. Yeah. So Mark is asking a good question. That if we're saying that he's a... and the Gemara seems to say that this... The Gemara has this right after the previous memra. It seems to be that's the interpretation of the memra. So you see from the Gemara like this. The Gemara says, and Mark's asking a question. Why does it say, L'olam yasa godom, the Torah mitzvahs, afilu shalol l'shmo, because shalol mitov shalol l'shmo bo l'shmo? Why don't you say right then and there? He has a schar, because he recognizes the true idea. You see? But apparently the Gemara held that if it wouldn't lead to Lishma, it's really nothing. It's really nothing. In other words, like this, you have three levels. You have a level where a person does something completely. His sole motivation is Lo Lishma, in which case it's No Chlosh Lo Nivra. Then you have a level where his sole motivation is Lishma, which is the highest level, at the Zoras Meniska, and then you have a level, an in-between level, where it's Shalol Lishma, and where I say that he should do Shalol Lishma, why? Shemitoch Shalol Lishma, Bo Lishma, which implies that if we would know for sure that he'd never reached Lishma, so then we would tell him that he's wasting his time. But we say that he should do it. Why? Because mitoch shelo l'shma, eventually he'll come to l'shma. Which means to say as follows: that in terms of asiyas and mitzvos, if a person would remain on that level, you can't say that it's really any degree of perfection. He's a lazy person. He recognizes the concept. I mean, it's not really a level of asiyas and mitzvos. God didn't give man the mitzvahs to do mitzvahs that way, because of his multi-determined state, which means that he doesn't work out of Shabbos because he's lazy. I mean, this is not considered an asiyah. It's not a level of human function. It's not really a level of human function. So it's not a level of perfection. If we would know that the person would stay this way, would never come to do it, because it really isn't a level of asir. There's a certain border that you have to pass before. If you don't pass that line, so then really you can't consider it asir. You can't consider this man as a gavra being osek and mitzvahs. It's nothing. There's no asir. There's one part of his nature is dragging behind. His emotions aren't aligned with his mind. So it's not considered as an odom. It's not considered asir. And God would not give man mitzvahs for the purpose of him doing mitzvahs in that manner. But nevertheless, he still should do it, not because he's a gavra that's involved in asiyas and mitzvahs, but because it will permit him to become such a gavra. But if he'd never reach it, we'd say that's not a level of asiyah. I mean, he has no control over his emotions. In the back of his mind, he has a recognition, but that's not really considered asiyah. The other has to be in order for Asiya to be considered, in order for his actions to be considered valuable, the whole person must be involved. If the whole person is involved, he's doing things because of side motivations, that's not considered Asiya Samitzvah. The Torah would never be given for a person to do something like that. That's not considered Asiya. It's not. But nevertheless, it's considered a mitzvah insofar as he's moving towards the right goal. So there's three levels. There's a level in which a person's asiya is worthless. There's a level where a person's asiya is considered asiya as a mitzvah. He's on the level where he's mekayim the mitzvah. He's what the mitzvah, his whole nature is involved in asiya as a mitzvah. Then there's like an introductory state where a person has to recognize he can't really be involved in the mitzvah at this point. But nevertheless, it's something that this type of situation is something that will lead him to asiya as a mitzvah. And that's lolishma. That's the level of lowlessness. That's the way Chazal explained it. Yes. If he doesn't have the recognition of his defect and realization that this is only a name, then he's never going to get anywhere. He has to have, that's a certain state of mind where he recognizes his weakness, but nevertheless, you see, his mind, the part of his mind is on the true goal. There's another level. The other level is what I mentioned this week, Ramban. The Ramban says, Orech Yomim Biyamino B'smola Osher V'chava. So the Gemara says that there's, with regard to Torah, that on the right side of Torah is Arichas Yomim, length of days. On the left side of Torah, the Pasuk says, is wealth and honor. An interesting thing, wealth and honor. So the Gemara says, "Al tikri b'smola el lamas me'ilimba, lamas me'ilimba." That's a different thing. See, that's a different thing. You could prove it very simply, because lamas over here, Rashi says, "Alomed almas." Well, actually, Rashi is the other way. But when it says lamas me'ilimba, lamas me'ilimba doesn't mean simply shelo l'shma. Lamas Milimba. Because why is it called Lamas Milimba? It would seem that there's a third level. In other words, there's a difference between a person. Lamas Milimba means that his purpose is really Chachma. But he's on a different, he's not on the level of a, that's what he's in Tzadik Gomer and Tzadik Shein Gomer. Tzadik Shein Gomer means that he can have a defect. He has a defect. That's Lamas Milimba. Because otherwise it wouldn't say, Orach Yom B'Yamina V'Smo La'osh V'Chav, and a person that's learning Shlo L'Shma, because the Gemara says the whole purpose of Shlo L'Shma is Shabbo L'Shma, but it's not considered a level in Hanley. Now here it says Orach Yom B'Yamina V'Smo La'osh V'Chav, it would seem to be that a person's on a level. So what does it mean L'mas Me'ilimba? L'mas Me'ilimba means over there that his primary motivation is good, but he's drawn aside. He's drawn aside. He's a tzaddik. He's tzaddik sheina gomer. Tzaddik sheina gomer means that he's drawn aside by his emotions as well. His main motivation is he's not considered lo l'shma means like he's at the mercy of his emotions. What's tamna? That's only a mean. But over here he's more. He's a gavra. Arichem means lo l'shma means he's a gavra. But lamas milimba means that he is at times falls prey to his emotional weaknesses. That's Lamas Milimba. That's what the Gemara says. He doesn't have Orach Yomim. Because Orach Yomim implies the perfect state of existence. That's Orach Yomim. The perfect state of existence. Length of days means that every day he's living in the most perfect state, and he has the greatest possible, partakes to the greatest possible degree of the human existence. In terms of his perfection, in terms of his happiness, everything. That's Orach Yomim. That's what Orach Yomim means. It doesn't mean how many years he lived. It means the quality of his life. The small Osher V'Chavad means that God gives him reward of Osher V'Chavad, even though he doesn't have the other, but he has reward of Osher V'Chavad. Because even though it means basically he's an imperfected individual. Imperfected. That's the small Osher. Okay, so it's basically the small level. The case with Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, the story in Bava Basra, the reason why he yielded to the person who thought was an ignoramus was because the way that individual set it up was he put him in a situation where he absolutely could not refuse him. Because to refuse him would mean that he's not following the halacha b'drachah. It'd be a b'zayin. he'd walk away, say, that's a Vira Nasi. I asked him for support, and he hasn't, God supports the dog. Why doesn't he want to support me? I'm not asking for anything. So he had to do it. But nevertheless, why do you say, Oili Shemasati Mamoni Lam Arts? Because he meant that in the framework of reality, he still was in a situation where he supported an ignoramus. Oili Shemasati Mamoni Lam Arts means like this. It's an interesting thing. It means, it would seem from Chazal, that sometimes an untoward event takes place which reflects on a person, not because he did the wrong thing. He did the right thing, because if you don't know, he had to do it. But nevertheless, it comes out, the situation results in the fact that he was an instrument of supporting an ignoramus. And that itself was something that was an event that was disturbing to him. You understand what I mean? In other words, let's say something would occur that all Rabbi Nasi's money would be taken away between Tamei Eretz. So he'd say, there must be something wrong. I mean, I must have done something wrong. Why should it be that that which I earned and that which I held for the purpose of Torah should be given out to ignoramuses? So he did the right thing because of the political situation. You see. But nevertheless, he was upset because he was aggravated because it turns out that his otza was a means for supporting an ignoramus, which means that there must be something wrong with him, some defect in him. That's why I said, Oili Shinasati Mamoni Lamarts. It's woe unto me because apparently the Ashgach is such that my work, my money should be given to the waste. You see, it wasn't the mice that he did wrong. The mice he did right. So then they told him, they said, maybe this was your Talmud. So he was happy, because then he knew that this event didn't occur. Okay. So why did he say, Yichnesu Akol, everybody should come now? Now definitely his money's going to go to Amaretz. It means like this. It means Rebbe didn't care. That is not considered a waste. If in order for me to give to a Talmud Chacham, I have to throw out a lot of money, That's nothing. That didn't bother Rebbe. Okay? If I take money and give it directly to an Amoritz, that means that the purpose of the money is for an Amoritz, that's bad. You see? But if I have to squander money in order that one Talmud Chacham should have what he needs, that didn't bother him at all. That in the contrary. That's the purpose. That's why I say Yechnis Ofal. Even if it's a loss, he was happy to do it. Because that's a means in order for the Talmud Chacham to gain, that's not a loss. Even if it's a means for the Talmud Chacham to gain and he loses all that money, but as long as it's a means for the Talmud Chacham to gain, it's not a loss. But if it's given exclusively for the Amoritz, that's a loss. But you see an interesting thing. See, it's a very interesting thing. You see that a person, that there's two situations. Usually a person only worries if he did an Avera. So he'll say, Oli, you know, I shouldn't have done this. But you see that a person, that there's a different type of regret. A regret that his efforts are wasted, which shows that the Ashgacha is the Ashgacha, right? That's another aggravation, different level of aggravation. Ashgacha is not with him, and he's simply, his efforts are going for nothing. That's like Ozvul Acherim Chelam. Ozvul Acherim Chelam. Yes. We're getting to the main pshat. It's an interesting thing because from here you see the whole halacha of, like for instance, there is a halacha of Sefer Torah as Kedusha. So Sefer Torah is a Chefzi Shel Kedusha. It's an entity. It has Kedusha. It has certain halachas that apply to it. But you take a Gemara. Gemara doesn't have any Kedusha because the Gemara is Torah Shebal Torah. It's Torah Shebal Torah. So there's no reason why can't I take a Gemara and put it on the floor, or why can't I sit on a bench with where there's a Gemara next to me? It's not a halacha like Sefer Torah. So it has no Kedusha, because it wasn't meant to be written even. But you see that that's a separate halacha. What's the issue of doing it? What's the issue of... What? It's an issue of Mevazel Omdeh. It's an issue of mevazalam der. It means you're degrading the people who learn the Torah. It means to say, if I put a Gemara on the same bench as myself, it means I have no respect for Abaye and Rava. I'm a vaza the lone day of Torah. So a person that's mevaza the lone day of Torah, it's a different, it's an issue of Bisa Torah. It's an interesting thing. What? It's not the abstract. Why isn't it the abstract Torah? Because the abstract Torah, you can't degrade the abstract Torah. I mean, since Torah Shebal Peh was not meant to be written, so it's not a chefza, it's not an entity. It's just ideas. So if a person puts them in writing, you can't degrade the ideas. The writing is only a medium. Where are the ideas? No. The ideas can't be embodied. The ideas can't be embodied. It would seem from this memory that it's not the ideas that you're degrading. It's not the ideas. Who is it? It's the Lom Deah Torah, because they were the Machabrim. They were the Machabrim. It means if you don't, if a person doesn't have respect for Gemara, who is he degrading? Ravina and Ravashi. Ravina and Ravashi. Because they wrote the Shas, and you have no respect for their Sefer. Or any Sefer. It's not the ideas per se, because the ideas per se cannot be embodied. So therefore, you can't do that. It's not an embodiment of the ideas. These ideas are Teshuvah Peah. But in terms of being a Machaber Svarim, there was a Machaber. Ravina Ravashi was Machaber the Shas. So therefore, you're degrading Ravina Ravashi, who wrote the Shas. It's an interesting thing. Makes a lot of sense. Because since Torah Shebal Peh is Bal Peh, so if I put it into a form, it doesn't mean anything. It's what my little mother is. It's nothing, because you can't take Torah Shebal Peh and locate it in a specific place. You can't do that. In Torah Shebal Ksav, you can, because Torah Shebal Ksav is a chefta shel Torah Shebal Ksav. So you can't do it. But you can't do it in Torah Shebal Peh. But who am I degrading if I don't show respect to Svarim? The Machaber. The Machaber is Svarim. So it comes out that you're degrading the Bale HaMasara. Lomdeha. What? A person should be, that's the Gemara, the Gemara Baruch is a person, Mahara B'Mekamos HaMetanofos. So that's a different thing, because that's a halachic thing, that the person's involved in a Maisa Limud. And you can't do a Maisa Limud in certain places. That's a halachic thing. But a Torah Shebal Peh that's written in a Sefer is nothing. It's nothing as a chef. It's absolutely nothing. That's what Chaim said. Chaim said the cover itself is a mafsik. That's what he said. Okay. It would seem from Rabbeinu Yonah you don't have to be in the same chair. But even if it's on the same level right next to you, there's a chair right next to you, so you're sitting over here in this chair, this chair, I'm sitting right next to you. That's a degradation. It seems like from Rabbeinu Yonah. Yeah, but since Torah Shebal Peh was not neatly cut, that means that it has no written form. The written form is only a means for learning. It's nothing. It's nothing in itself. Only in Torah Shebal Ksav do you have an entity, because in Torah Shebal Ksav it's the chefza of the words. The chefza of the words is kedusha. But in Torah Shebal Peh, it's just thought. It's not given to me. So if you write it in a sefer, it needs to say, I'm using this to remind me of the ideas. But that's it. Rav Moshe said that if you just put notes that you have, if you just make notes, like Mayer Mekomas, he said you don't have to, there's no halacha of cover for Mayer Mekomas. So that's why you see that if it's halacha and a means, so Mayer Mekomas also the means to remember the Torah. Let's say I just jot down a couple of points. Rapapa, this, that, I mean, the memory, Gemara, the Sukkah, the Lone Bez, and all, something like that. So that he says, is definitely not considered anything you have to treat with cover. And you tell me that, so why should that be different? Because only a means to remind me of something. So the whole written, all the written down Torah Shebal Peh only means to remind me of something. Torah Shebal Peh is b'fichov, it's b'vavchot. It has nothing to do with the there's no ksav. There's no ksav. But the answer is very simple. The answer is that even if you write a piece of Torah, there's no such thing as writing a piece of Torah, it's yours. I mean, if you write something new, completely new, then you might as well throw it out. But if you're writing something, if you're writing something that's based upon Chazal, so basically, you're involved in the same thing. You're explaining their words. That's the case. You have no respect for their words. In the critical edition of Rabbeinu Yonah, it's even more clear. It's really is. V'lo yeshiv b'kisei u'besafsol sheheim omdim shom kenegdom b'shovah. By the death of the Bnei Aaron. So it says, v'yikhu Bnei Aaron nodav aviyu ish machtaso v'yitnu v'hein ish v'yisimu aleh kitaras. So they brought forth before God a strange fire which he didn't command them, and because of that they died. It's an interesting thing. The big question is what was their sin? So Rabbi Shmuel says Shisuya Yayin Nefesulamigosh. That they went to the base of Megiddo when they were drunk. So that was their avera. But Rabbi Eliezer says that Horu Halacha b'fnei Moshe Rabbi. They paskin the shayla in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's an interesting thing. What is that? The second shot, at least, you understand that there was a fate with regard to the Megiddo. But what is the first? What is the first step? As a matter of fact, there's a medrash that says that the Bnei Aaron looked at Moshe and Aaron. They said, "Mosa Yamusu Shnei Zekenim Halolo." They said, "And we'll be the leaders." So that's in line with the same shot of Hora Halacha B'nei Moshe Rabbah, because. Why would they be more halacha in front of Moshe Rabbeinu? Because they were trying to seize leadership. You see? But the question is, that pshat, what does that have to do with the Migdash? It's a separate thing, a different avaris. You see, they died over there because they did it. A lot of avaris they could have done. You see? So apparently, it would seem that the leadership, in being involved in the leadership of Klal Yisrael, is like being in the Beis HaMikdash. Being involved in the leadership of Klal Yisrael, the act of being involved in the leadership of Klal Yisrael is just like Mikdash. It's like doing a Vodah B'Mikdash. An interesting thing. So that means that a person has If a person has bad motivation with regard to that area, you see, it's just like doing a vodah in an improper manner in his Chayav Nisan. It means the process of leadership of Klal Yisrael is just like Mikdash, just like doing a vodah in the Beis HaMikdash. in the makom akdisha, it's a separate. So if the motivation is improper, if a person does something wrong in that area, it's five minutes. With regard to what we said last week, it might become more intelligible. The statement is like this. It says, "Vayakriv l'fnei Hashem eish zora asher lo tziva osom v'teitz eish m'fnei Hashem v'tochel osom v'lusnei Hashem." They died. Okay. Then to the Yomar Shel Aaron, "Hu asher dibra Hashem le'emor b'krovai ekodesh v'al pnei chol ha'om ekovei v'yidom Aaron." So what is it? What kind of a thing? So apparently Moshe Rabbeinu gave him some type of comfort. Apparently. Question, how could he comfort a person when Mesa Mutlafonov and not a lot of comfort him with that? But alright, one question. But look what he said sounds very difficult to understand. He says like this, "Amalei, Moshe Aaron, Moshe Aaron, Aaron Ochi, Yodea Hayisi Shiaskadesh Habayas Bim Yudov." I knew that the Mishkan will become a Kiddush by those who are close to God. In Yidov Shalmakon. Vayisi Sofer Obi Obach. And I thought either it would be me or you. Achshav Roani Shehem Gedolim Mimeni Umimecha. Now I see they were greater than both of us. So it's a very, on the surface, a very difficult thing to understand. Because the reason why they died was because they were Makriv Eish Zora. It wasn't because they were Kedoshim. You see? It was definitely because of a Maisa Vera. There's Ein Onish Below Chait. Ein Misa Below Chait. So I was thinking of what we said last week. We said the story of Rebbe, where he felt bad that he gave his money to an Amoritz. That he said, "Oy li shenasati mimamoni la Amoritz." So he said, but he had no choice, because when his Talmud, I mean, you know, his Talmud came in, so he told him, he said, "Parnasen gikel v'korit." So he had no choice, really. He had to do it, because it would look bad if he didn't do it. He had to do it. He put him on the spot. He said, he told him, he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Merachem V'Racham Aval Kol Ma'asav. I'm asking you, Panos Ani Kevel V'Korit, Sav Rachmanis. So he had to give him, something, but he felt bad later. He said, Oy, Shivasati Mimamoni La'amaharas. And he said that there's two types of regret. A person can have regret because of an action that he did, or a person can have regret because a certain situation befell him. An indication that there's something wrong. A certain situation befell him. There's an indication of something wrong, that he should be one that should support an Amharat, that his money should be used for an Amharat. It's aggravating. It means there's some defect in him, something wrong. So, in other words, what we're saying is that a person sometimes has regrets. Sometimes a person acts as a gavra, and sometimes he's in a situation where he's a chafza. In other words, it's himself as an object, even though he didn't do anything. But he had regrets because as an object, as an entity, as a chafza, this thing occurred, which is bad. So you see that there's two ways, two frameworks to view a person. View a person that is gavra, and view a person that is chafza. So if that's the case, then maybe we can understand what Moshe Rabbeinu told Aaron HaKohen. Because what he said was like this, that anyone that would walk into the Mikdash, just stam, a person that was a nobody, they wouldn't have died. They did, even though they did something wrong, even though they walked in Shriyan, they wouldn't die. Because they're not on the level of the Kedoshai, they're not worthy. If Stama Behemel walking, some person walks in, I mean, he's not gonna be a Chayav Misa. Because he's not on the level that God should use him, it's not important. See, his action isn't important. But a person who's on a high level, whose action is important, you see, over there we say that that Kadosh Baruch Hu punished the individual was a demonstration of the Kedushas HaMikdash. So for a person to be used as an instrument of demonstration of Kedushas HaMikdash, he has to be on a level. God wouldn't just, anyone who walked in did something wrong is not worthy of the onish. The onish can only befall an individual on a very high level, then it demonstrates Kedushas HaMikdash. You see? So a person really comes under two frameworks. In other words, there's a person in terms of his Maisa, and then there's a person in terms of as a chefza, as an entity. What is he as an entity? So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu told Aaron. He didn't speak in terms of the Maisa Veda. Of course there was a Maisa Veda. Moshe Rabbeinu spoke about them as in terms of their person, as individuals, not in terms of their maisa, but in terms of their status as individuals. Who, he says, who asher dibra Hashem bekrovei kodesh, which means to say that in order for God to use a person as an instrument of kedushas hamigdash, they have to be on a certain level. So as a fact, their death implies their status in terms of a chafta, not in terms of a maisa, a gavra, in the scene of the. So that was the tanchuma that Moshe Rabbeinu gave. Okay. And he said, so tanchuma was that he said to Aaron that you see that they were on, in order for them to be instruments of kedushas Hashem, they had to be worthy of it. So that's what he said. He said that they were worthy, even though. So you see that in tanchumim, even though it was a ma'isa avera, but you see that in tanchumim you could single out an aspect. You have a right to single out an aspect of the situation and to demonstrate that just based on this aspect, you see that they were on the level, we weren't on the level. You see? So there's two reasons why a person wouldn't be subject to the penalty of death when they entered the Middash. One reason is, of course, because they didn't do a Ma'aseh Avera, but the second reason is that as an entity, they're not worthy of it. See? So you see that in Tanchumim, you have a right to single out an aspect and to base your tanchuman on that aspect. The aspect was that as an entity they were roy. That's a good point. The Lishkas Agazis was in Sanhedrin, yeah. You see from that, that's why you see that in the situation of Beis HaMedrash, there's no place to put this forum, so that when you put down this forum, you're not doing it because of degradation to the Machaber Aswar. It's simply a practicality. It's Sorach Limud, it's a part of the Maisa Limud, so that's why it's Mutter. As Rabban Yonah says, anyone that judges them l'kafchova, judges tzaddikim and chachomim l'kafchova, which means that you say that their intentions were to judge them for the worse, so then he says, and he finds fault with the Chachamim, and he doesn't try to defend them. When they speak in front of him about the Rishayim, he justifies them. It's an interesting thing. He says, in other words, you could tell whether a person's a tzaddik or a rasha. Well, you could see that if you speak about a rasha in front of him and you condemn the rasha, so he will come to their defense. He says, and vice versa. If you speak about tzaddikim and you speak highly of them, or it's a situation where you could judge them either way, so he will criticize them. He says you could tell the person's level by who he defends. That's what he says. Yeah. Let's say definitely when he's speaking about the Gedolei Yamasora, the Balei Yamasora. That's without a question. So if somebody will write something about the Rambam and attribute him evil motives, you know, I mean, you could tell right away that this person's a Russian. You know what I mean? Because there's always an unconscious process of identification. A person always identifies. When a person does an avera, a person lives a certain lifestyle, all those people who are popular and who represent that lifestyle, he immediately identifies with them. Can't avoid it. So that's why that's the issur of living with a shiksa, which is really not some would say that he avoided the issur of nida, midaraisa. A person did such a thing. But no, they made the Takanas not gods. And not only that, but the Rambam says it's Koros Medivri Sofrim. Yes, it's Chayef Koros and such a thing. Considered a horrible thing, even though the Rambam says no onus, but it's the terrible Ravera. Why? Because the Pasuk says, Kibol Basi El Necha, which means to say there's identification. Identification is a very strong process. And you can tell a person by who he identifies with. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah says. Interesting, it's an open Pasuk. The Pasuk says, every person according to whom he praises. They see that by the way you can discern a person's nature by whom he praises. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah says. Okay, but now there's a problem. He says there's another pasuk, that only God knows the heart of man. So it seems to say that you really can't tell a person by any external manifestation. Okay. So now he answers like this. He says, "Hu be'inyan ha-minus." That's only when it comes to kfira, minus. Okay. Why? She'ein koach ha'odom lahavchin b'chaveiro imhu min. He says a person can't tell if his chaver is really an apikoros. Ki hadvorim hamutznoim belibos haminim. Because these are hidden things in the hearts of those who are apostates. So he says, Haim ach. The last words are hadvorim hamutznoim belibos haminim. Haim ach bedibor nirim kema haminim. But in their words, they look like they believe. That's his question. He couldn't interpret the pasuk to mean he just another came and just looked at Eliyahu and said, "Ah, he's a good-looking man. He's the one." It's crazy. So it means he spoke to him and interviewed him, was convinced of his level. Apparently, he's a great Talmud Chacham, and he had all the and he appeared to have great midos, and he was very satisfied. But no, he was wrong. Even another can't know. No one can know. Means to say that a man can only see the superficial personality. Never can know beyond the superficial personality. An interview is possible, and he came to the conclusion he was a tzaddik gomer, and he was wrong. So God punished him, not in the sense that it was abnormal, but he placed him in a situation where he sees that he doesn't really know as much as he thinks. You see, because he thought that this is the one. No, you don't know. That's why he didn't tell him who it was to begin with. He told him go to Beis Yishai. That's the shot in the Chazal. But this is a statement. Ki Adam Yira La'inayim, but Hashem Yira La'levav is a statement that means that no one can know. It's impossible to know. Even the greatest know, they can't know. So what's the answer? Rabbeinu Yonah means he apparently means that apparently he doesn't learn like Rashi. Was a chesaron amidas. He learns that there was something wrong with his ideas in relationship to. In terms of his perfection. See, what does he mean by minus? By minus he means like this. By minus he means, he doesn't really mean cure. What he means is, the difference is something like this. You're going to tell me, according to this pasuk, ki ha'odom yira la'inayim Hashem yira la'levav. It comes out that you can never know anything about anybody. Anybody can't know anything about anybody. That's impossible. It doesn't make any sense. What Rabbeinu Yonah is saying is like this. That where, see, minus, Rabbeinu Yonah doesn't really mean kfira. What he means is certain ideas that a person has in terms of his knowledge, his ideas. Because real perfection always, what is perfection in man? Perfection in man is that his ideas of God are on the highest level. That's the ultimate perfection. That's the ultimate perfection. All perfection is just simply that. Okay? All perfection is Yedias Hashem. That's perfection. Anything a person does all ties into one thing, Yedias Hashem. It means that the Yedias Hashem of a tzaddik is a different idea. different concept. This concept of God is different. Okay? So that's what, when he says meanness, that's what he means. He means to say a lack in Yedias Hashem. He doesn't mean that Aliyah was a kafir or a beker, doesn't he? He means, meanness means the ideas in relationship to God. Okay? What he's saying is as follows. He's saying when it comes to perfection in terms of a person's knowledge of God, if you want to understand his perfection, you see, so you can't tell by what he says. Because he knows what he's supposed to say, and he'll always say the right thing. Not because he wants to be deceitful, but simply. He knows what he's supposed to say. It doesn't mean that what he's saying is really stems from an inner understanding. A person can say in one conversation, say Baruch Hashem 15 times. So he's always saying Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. So it doesn't necessarily mean that he understands that the Kishem Shem Mevarchem Al Atov, Kach Mevarchem Al Ra, and he's on such a level that everything, every breath he takes, Kol Neshama T'Hal Ka, I mean, he's just saying it because he knows he's supposed to, that's the way he's supposed to be. So he's saying it. See? So you can't tell from a person whether he says, when he says Baruch Hashem, does it mean that it stems from an inner level of perception where he's in line with the Creator every moment, he's in line with the Creator, or he's saying it because he knows that's the right thing to do, he's supposed to say it all the time. See? That a person can't tell. But when it comes to a character trait, which is expressed due to a person's nature and his level, that you can tell. So that's what Rabbi Yehuda says, that where you see a person identifies with a Rasha, with a Tzaddik, you can tell the person, you can see by his nature where his identification is. Okay? Especially, it has to be, of course, in a situation where he's not suspect to contriving or to lying, to deceit. He's not subject to deceit. Then you can tell. You can tell by the way his psyche's lined up. You can tell his character traits. But when it comes to a particular point in terms of his knowledge and of his inner essence, whether it's in line with his external statements, what is level? You can see a person davening along Shemoneh Esrei for 15 minutes. Does it mean that he's on such a level that he really perceives Omer Lefnei Hashem, or he has all those other things, other reasons why? That's impossible to know. You can't know. Can't tell. Because to say the exact same thing with the same fervor and the same, you don't know whether it's, you don't know what the level is. Unless, of course, it's on a certain level. But if you see certain character traits, which are obviously manifest that they stem from a certain part of his nature, his psychological nature, that anybody can tell. That you can know. He says, "Al tastapik b'davar." Don't even be doubtful about it. That's what Ben Yonah says. So when it comes to, in other words, like this, I would say this way. Now that you mention this, Elliot, when it comes to a person's psychological orientation, that you can tell. When it comes to a psychological orientation, that you can tell. When it comes to his knowledge of God, that you can't tell. That's what Ben Yonah says. When it comes to psychological orientation, that you can tell. Well, you can tell if a person identifies with tzaddikim, so you see his psychological orientation is a good one. If he identifies with rishayim, you see his psychological orientation is a bad one. That you can tell. But the level of knowledge and perfection, that's impossible for anybody to tell. Cannot. There are a lot of ways to tell a person's psychological orientation. No, that's only one method. Identification is only one method. There are many ways to tell a person's psychological orientation. But in terms of his level of perfection, beyond the psychological, you see, in Yadis, is not, perfection is not just psychological. Psychological orientation is a basic thing. How his emotions are lined up, that's very important. But that's only a basic. That's only perfection of the midos. But perfection, real perfection, is perfection of chokhmah, of intellect. His knowledge of God, his Das Hashem. That perfection is impossible to know. Even another can't know. That's what he says. Basically what it means is a person can only see the psychological orientation. That's all he can see. He can't see beyond that. Beyond that is hidden in the Lev Adam. What his knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is and how he relates to that knowledge, no one can know. You can only know his psyche. You can't know his mind. You can't know his mind. And the essence of perfection lies in the mind. Of course, the psyche is first. If he has something wrong with the psychological orientation, of course, he can't reach the level. But in terms of knowledge, a person can be psychologically oriented very well, but it doesn't necessarily mean that's as far as he got. That's it. He's not on a high level. That's the a person about himself can know. But it's interesting that even that was the mistake of Shmuel, that he thought he was very impressed. He saw a great Talmud Chacham, he saw a good psychological orientation, he discussed ideas, but there was one thing. The idea, in other words, we're saying it's like this. I think we mentioned many times that there are two, a person can know ideas, but the real level of perfection, that's the difference between a Tzadik Gomor and a Tzadik She'ena Gomor. The Tzadik Gomor means that his emotions naturally fall in line with his knowledge. It's not just an isolated fact. That a person can't tell. If it's an isolated fact or whether it really stems from his how much he's attached to the world of ideas and how much he's attached to the world of the material, you can't tell. Everybody talks the same language. Everybody says, yeah, the material is nothing. Huh? To know what the inner nature, what his inner nature is, and how much his soul is tied up to the world of ideas and how much knowledge he has of God, impossible to know. Can't know it. As long as the psychological orientation is correct, two people will look the same. One may even look more, may even appear more impressive. That's all. In other words, Bein Yonah says you can tell the characteristics of individuals. There's no question about it. And people who come to the support of Rishoyim definitely have an evil streak. If I'm not mistaken, he says that. Yesh bo shemetz rishus. You see? It's interesting. He doesn't say who Russia. Yesh bo shemetz rishus. What does shemetz mean? Shemetz means that he has a streak of rishus in him. Which means to say, the reason why he identifies is because he has this streak. Yeah, there is something in him that's being drawn over here. But to say, to evaluate a total human being, that I don't think is possible. See? That only God could do. In other words, a person can have this inclination and that inclination, but the totality of the human being is impossible for a person to know. Anybody to know. Because a person isn't just one thing. Let's say a person has a chassan, so what? In that area he didn't develop, but he's in the process of developing. 5 years from now he'll overcome that. You have no right to say because a person has a streak in him which is vicious, or a streak in him which is associated with rishis, that you can tell what his level is. Impossible. You can never tell. Because then you go into ki Adam Yerulainayim, Hashem Yerulaleva. Because in terms of his intellectual perfection, in terms of his moving towards God, in terms of his knowledge, you have no idea how much energy is involved in his strivings in that area. Since you don't know that area, you can't know the total person. It's impossible. Yeah, you can only know certain strains of personality. Yes. So they believe the physical good is the real good, but you're not supposed to do that because God will punish you. They're on a very low level of ketanim. A person who sincerely recognizes that the good is beneficial, he would love criticism. He'd ask for it. Yes. Okay. The memory states like this. But now we come to the main part of the statement. Because the main statement is that a person who respects the Torah, other people respect him. So it's a cause and effect. It's a cause and effect. If one honors the Torah, so then he himself is honored. And conversely, he who degrades the Torah, he will personally be degraded by people. And the question is, what's the relationship? I mean, it would seem difficult to logically explain why that should be so. The assumption would have to be that everybody respects the Torah, and we know that's not so. So in a world where everyone respects the Torah, so you could say, yes, it's true. You wouldn't have to say it. But it would seem to be speaking even in the society, the imperfect society that we live in, until the Muslim Mashiach, that even in our society, this is the case. So the question is, I mean, what is the, how do you explain this cause and effect? The person respects the Torah, that he will be respected by others. Okay? The Rambam doesn't say anything over here. Rambam doesn't say anything over there. The Rambam mentioned, interestingly enough, the Rambam does mention this member of Chazal. He mentions it in the Yad HaChazaka. In Hilchos Sefer Torah. The end of Hilchos Sefer Torah. Of Hilchos Sefer Torah, he says, Kol mi sheyosh lefnei Sefer Torah yeshev bekoved rosh. You should sit in front of the Sefer Torah with seriousness. Be'em of a fachad. With fear. Shehu ha'ed ha'nema l'chol boi olam sh'nema v'yashem b'chol ha'ed. That this is the testimony for the all those all human beings, because the pasuk says that this Sefer Torah will be for you for an aid, a testimony as to the veracity of Torah. Then he says, "Echadu kficha." He should respect the Torah according to his ability. That's an interesting thing that. Before we get to the cause and effect, there's another interesting principle to be derived from this chazal, and I think it's one that that many people misunderstand, because a person is young, like the Rambam says in the category of Oved Meira. Oved Meira means he doesn't really serve God intellectually. He serves God emotionally, goes to cheder, and the Rebbe says this is what you have to do. So he does it, but it's on an emotional level. He's afraid that if he does something wrong, that God will harm him. He tries to do things good because he wants to be rewarded. But that's basically a low level, like the Rambam explains. That's really the level of most people who don't have chachmas haTorah. That's the level of the hamonam. But there's another level in Torah, the higher level in Torah, where a person gains knowledge and he comes into the circle of Chachamim. The circle of Chachamim is a different kind of phenomena altogether. A person realizes that all these emotions that he has are all based on nonsense. They're all nonsensical. They're all psychological phenomena. And he recognizes with his intellect that there's a different dimension. Totally different dimension. And then he's operating on a totally different level. Totally different level. Cannot equate the person who was operating on the level of chachma to the person who's operating on the level of emotions. Level of emotions, we say, like the Rambam says, actually, the way the Rambam puts it, with the level of emotions, we tolerate it. The benefit is that it leads to the ultimate perfection. It's a base. It's a means. The Rambam is in the 10th paragraph of Hilchos Teshuva. The Rambam says, he says that a person that wants to, that does the mitzvahs because he's osek and even the chokhmas haTorah, kadesh kabo kol habrachos haksuvos bo, or kadesh eskel lachayelam abo, vefresh min averish yeshira Torah mehen, kadesh en nutzel min haklolos haksuvos haTorah. So I'll be saved from all the curses that the Torah mentions if I keep the Torah. So I won't be cut off from Chayal Mabah. Ain Roy Lavad as Hashem al Derech Hazeh. Sheoved al Derech Hazeh Oved Meira. Vein a Mila Sanavim v'lo Mila Sachacham. It is really not the level of neither of a Navi or even of a Chacham. Vein Ovedim Hashem al Derech Hazeh al Amei Haaretz. V'Anoshim V'Aktanim Shemachan Chanasam Lava Meira Ad Shepir B'Daiton V'Yavdu Me'Ava. And you only allow people to the ignoramuses to continue in this way. Until they gain knowledge and they change their whole path, which is basically the path of the religious instincts, and then they serve God on a totally different level. Now, when a person changes to that level, oftentimes a person makes a mistake. There's a lot of difficulties in that transition. It's a transition that a person who is fortunate enough to have gained knowledge will make, but there are many difficulties in the transition. If you don't make that transition, then there's a very small chance that a person can ever succeed, or even what he does is really not on a proper level. And if I just heard somebody just told me yesterday that they were very 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 impressed with a certain Rebbe that they had. Why? Because the Rebbe that they had, when he came into the class, when he announced to the class that anyone that can't prepare for an hour and a half for my class might as well not come to this class. So the student was a very honest student. So he went up to the Rebbe after the class, and he said that, look, I'll tell you honestly, I have a heavy schedule, and I can't do it. I can't give you an hour and a half for a day to prepare. So the Rebbe said, do what you can. It's okay. So this Talmud was very impressed because he felt that the Rebbe showed him kindness and he allowed him to stay in the class. But of course, it's a complete absurdity. Because on the contrary, if the statement of the Rebbe was true, that you need an hour and a half, so that's the rational thing that you need for this class. And if I let you stay, it means to say that if you can't prepare for an hour and a half in this class, you're wasting your time. So now you can't show kindness towards a person, allow him to waste his time. And you didn't know the individual personally. So it's like a physician that will say, look, the operation is very difficult. Unless you want to go through the pain, you're not going to be able to make it. And the patient says, look, I can't take the pain. Okay, so we'll do this. So you see, so a chesed that's based on emotions, that's misguided, is harmful. It's harmful. It's very harmful. So it's not a mile, it's a chasarin. A person must operate, must reach a level where he operates on an intellectual basis, chachma. If the moment we leave chachma, we do harm to ourselves and we do harm to others. So the level of the emotional, the good emotions are very harmful and dangerous. That's why Yahadis is the only religion that posits that ignorance is evil. Ignorance is evil. Okay. But the thing in the transition from the stage from the person's stage where he's emotionally religious to the stage where he suddenly recognizes that there is a system of chachma and he becomes intellectually, philosophically, he converts his religion from an intellectual and philosophical type of worship. So there are many difficulties. And one of the things that happens usually is that when a person recognizes that the emotions are wrong, so he abandons all emotions. So there's an abandonment. All emotions are bad. Now that could be a very dangerous situation, you see. And what the, give you an example. When it comes to, for instance, a person will say, look, when it comes to Kavod Hashem, there's no reason intellectually to give cover to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, because the reason why I gave cover to a Kadosh Baruch Hu before was based on an infantile idea that just like you respect your father, your Rebbe, so if you don't respect him, he's going to get upset. So you have to show respect for him. So it's based on an infantile idea of respect. Now he sees that we're in relationship to God. That's not true. God doesn't need his respect. Doesn't need it. He's not going to get upset if he doesn't respect him. So I say, okay, if that's the case, there's no reason to. You can't be respectful towards the Kaddish Baruch Hu. What do I have to dress nicely for Shiva? Dress nicely for Shabbos? There's no reason for it. It doesn't make any sense. God doesn't need this. You see? So many people, they abandon the whole emotional sphere. And they maintain that this is completely absurd. And therefore, there's no reason to do it, to be involved in it. But Yadis does not take that approach. Yadis doesn't take that approach. Yadis holds that the emotions, it's true, in their original format, they're really worthless, based on the infantile. But Yadis does not abandon emotion, because emotion is really a part of a person's makeup. Yadis demands that the emotion be directed towards towards chachma. See, towards the source of chachma. That's why the Rambam mentions that by Erev Shabbos, the chachomim Erev Shabbos, that they would get dressed up and they would cover their heads and they'd go out in front of the door. And say, Neitzei Likras Shabbos HaMelech, the Rambam says. What does that mean? It means that the emotion of respect should be used. but it should be used towards the ultimate. Towards the ultimate. It's not an abandonment of emotions. It's wrong. That's wrong. It's not a real philosopher. That's just a person that is getting caught with his other emotions. Getting caught with other emotions. But the true way of serving God is that the emotions which we have should be directed towards the ultimate reality. Towards the ultimate reality. Like a person, for instance, a person gets embarrassed if people, if he does something that's not socially acceptable. The person would be embarrassed. So do we abandon the emotion of embarrassment? The answer is no. The answer is that there is a true embarrassment. But the true embarrassment is when a person doesn't live according to the ideas of Chachman, according to the ideas of reality. And that's why you have tshuva. And tshuva, a lot of emotions in tshuva. What does Rambam say? Midakei tshuva, shehei ashov, tzoeg tamim, mischanein. He feels upset, he feels hurt, he feels bad, he feels he did something wrong. And all the emotions that a person would undergo if the worst tragedy would befall him. You see, in the psychological plane, are applied to the world of ultimate reality. That's the philosophy of Yadis. So the philosophy of Yadis is not an abandonment of emotions, but it's an application of emotion to the real world. An application of emotion to the real world. That's really the philosophy of Yadis. It's a subtle change, but a great one. But those who maintain that once a person becomes philosophical, intellectually, simply abandons emotions, it's completely against the others. And that's why the Rambam says, over here, the Rambam says that a person that's Yoshev the Kovid Rosh, the aim of a fachad, fear, trembling. It means to say that emotion of fear and trembling that a person would have if he were to face the greatest danger is applied to this area. Those emotions are applied to the area of reality. So the sphere, once the sphere of reality registers on the person's intellect, and the person's mind, the emotions are applied to that sphere. That's really the philosophy of Yadis. Many people, most people abandon the emotions completely once they find out that they're infantile. That's not what the Yadis maintains. Those emotions that a person has must be used towards the real world, towards the ultimate reality. That's the idea. You see that the Rambam, that's how the Rambam interprets the Memra. That Kol HaMachabed Es HaTorah, he says, Kol HaMachabed Es HaTorah, he brings this Memra. So Machabed Es HaTorah means, what does it mean Machabed Es HaTorah? It means that the awe that he has, or that he would have, for that which he would respect the most. If he was standing in a situation where it was in front of a person in the world that was the most important to him, because he would have a certain respect. So that emotion is translated into the world of ideas. So he has those emotions for the Sefer Torah, which represents Chachmas Hashem, and which represents the fact that God communicated with us and gave us His Torah. The person has that realization, the emotions of aim of a fachar have to permeate him. You see. And that's the same idea of tefillah. The person would recognize the fact that he's standing before the Borei Olam, and that the Borei Olam listens to his tefillah. It would be impossible for him not to sense a certain aim of a fachar. That's an important thing. That's right. When David HaMelech was Macharka B'chol Oz, Lefnei Hashem, and it says that it says, Vayaron Hashem bo ir David, Umicha B'ashol Mishpa Barach Alon, Vateres HaMelech David Mephazes U'machanka Lefnei Hashem Vativiz Lo B'libo. You see? So then she said to him, she said, Manich bari yom malach Yisrael, asher nigla yom le'enei amos avodah, ki golos niglos achar areken. Because he was mechaka b'chalos, and he looked like a peasant dancing. So yom ha-dover al-michol lefnei Hashem, asher bachar bi me'avich, mikol beisel, v'tzavos os hinogat olam Hashem al Yisrael, v'sichakti lefnei Hashem. When a kalosi owed me zos, v'yisi shofol be'enoi, v'im ha-amos asher amat, imo mikavedo. So what was Dovid HaMelech saying? Dovid HaMelech was saying that you were making a mistake, that you think that a person should refrain from emotion. That's wrong. That the emotions of an individual should be directed towards the ultimate reality, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says, this on the contrary, this is the greatest cover for me, that I am completely involved in Mechaka B'chaloz. Mechaka B'chaloz means he lost himself completely. Hashem, that is the mitzvah. That is the mitzvah. That's the pasuk in Shmuel. That's what this member is saying. What this member is saying. And that's why, with regard to Shabbos, with regard to Tefillah, with regard to whenever it's a matter of kavod, we have to apply the same emotional basis that we would apply when it comes to the psychological reality. We have to apply it to the true world of reality. That's why, for instance, the grower is very machbid on dancing Simchas Torah in front of the Sefer Torah. Very machbid on that. He himself went out, and nobody was a big muscle in the other guy, and he himself went out and he danced in front of the Sefer Torah like a wild person. Why? Because that is the true philosophy of Yadis, that the emotions should be directed to make that transition. Direct the emotions towards the real world of reality. And that's straight through in the Rambam, in the Teshuvah, in the Sefer Torah, all straight through. That's what it means, called the Mechaber HaSatara. Mechaber HaSatara doesn't mean simply that he does it just as an act. It's more than just a meisah. Like the Rambam explains in his Hakdamah, there are certain mitzvahs which are based on meisim. There are certain mitzvahs which relate to our emotional life, our emotions. The Rambam says of Yoshev Be'em of a Fachad, that's a mitzvah with regard to emotions. So, Kavod HaTorah isn't just a mitzvah in terms of halachic maisa. I mean, it's halachic, but the halachic is not just maisa. Halachic is insofar as the emotions are concerned as well. Okay? Yeah. All right, now let's get to the cause and effect. It says a person that has that, a person who directs his emotions, that has that reverence for the Torah, as mechabe the Torah, so people will respect him. The question is, why will people respect him? People will, obviously speaking about all people, even people who don't have a very great respect for or aren't on the perfected level. Okay? This, I think, is something which we mentioned once before, and I think it's an important principle. It crops up many different places. That Yahadus maintains that in man there is a certain type of unconscious. It's a different kind of unconscious than the psychoanalytical unconscious, but it's sort of a rational unconscious. There is a rational unconscious in man, an underlying unconscious in man which recognizes truth. You see? Which recognizes truth. Actually, it's a Rashi in this week's Sedra. Because the Pasuk says, Vayibin so Aaron v'yom Moshe kumar Hashem v'yafutsu oivecho v'yanusu misanecho miponecho. Okay? So what was it talking about? It was talking about the Aaron when they moved through dangerous places. So, Kum Hashem v'yafutzu oivecho, who does it mean? It means the ones that want to destroy the nation. Right? But the question is, it shouldn't say v'yafutzu oivecho. It should say v'yafutzu oive Yisrael. V'yanusu mesane Yisrael. Mipneihem. No, it says v'yanusu mesanecho miponecho. So Rashi says v'yanusu mesanecho, elu sone Yisrael. Those are the ones that hate the Jews. He says, why? Shakola Sona Yis Israel, Sona Yis Misha Omar Vahoya Ha'olam. He said, anyone that hates the Jews hates the one who created the universe. You see? And Rashi quotes a pasuk. Rashi quotes a pasuk. Okay. So what does that show you? It shows you an interesting thing. It shows you that there is an unconscious, a universal unconscious in man that recognizes, that has a recognition of God. And this recognition of God, you see, which they have, if they are a shoyim, they have to fight it. They must suppress it. They must suppress it. But the recognition is there. And that's really the key to anti-Semitism. And people understand what's the cause of anti-Semitism. They try to give psychological explanations, historical explanations, all kinds of explanations. But they all admit that there's, that none of the explanations really really satisfy the dilemma. Really explain it. Now, Yadis's position is that there is an explanation. The explanation is not an obvious one, but it is a true one. The explanation is that there is in man an unconscious part of him that recognizes reality. That's why I mentioned many times the pasuk says that Shame Rashaim Yeroke in Zecher Tzadik Levracha. Zecher Tzadik Levracha, Shame Rashaim Yeroke. So it means to say that the Zecher of a Tzadik Levracha, even though during his lifetime he suffers, people degrade him, but later they recognize him. And see, it's true in terms of the secular world as well. You see that the great people of the past, even though Athens killed Socrates, but he's the greatest hero and he's respected as the greatest person to this day. Because there is a part of man which recognizes recognizes reality, and which, when it goes against his emotions, he has to suppress and he has to become very violent and vehement about. But eventually, when those emotions are gone, the rest of society will recognize him. See, that's the puzzle. So that is really why that's the basis of anti-Semitism. The basis of anti-Semitism is that the world recognizes from the Torah itself, from the Torah itself. Interesting thing, because it says V'hoya B'chol Eid. It means to say V'hoya B'chol Eid means that they could sense from the Torah itself. It's an amazing thing. Even without understanding the Terash Baal Peh, which means they're only getting a very abbreviated, not even abbreviated, I mean, very surface, on the surface view of Torah, but somehow or other, there is a recognition from the Torah itself of Misha Omar Vahoya Olam. And anyone that hates the Jew is trying to deny that reality. That's what the pasuk says. So that being the case, and that's why you see that that countries go crazy. I mean, over a Jew, the Jew wants a matzah, so Russia has to go crazy. It's an obsession. It's a universal obsession. The anti-Semitism is a universal obsession because it strikes at a part of man which is unconscious in his nature, but he's trying to deny it because there's a part of him that recognizes that there is some truth there. He has to hate those that live and represent that truth. He must hate them. Yes. Not for no reason at all that that Bible scholars spend their lives trying to disprove the veracity of the Torah. Okay. That being the case, so then what it means is like this. So then what it'll mean is that a person that's mechabe the Torah, that people will sense that this individual is on an objective plane. If a person that's mechabe the Torah, it means that he's not mechabe. Most times people are mechabe somebody who's in line with their emotions. Either somebody that lives according to their emotional fantasies, or else somebody that they have to respect because they get something out of this person. But to be mechabe the Torah is a totally objective activity. It means you're honoring the ideas, because these are the ideas of God. So a person who does that, it means that he engenders in other people a certain, he strikes that core of their nature that is in line with reality, and they recognize in him that he is on a different level. See, they recognize in him that he's on a different level. So the member could be explained, the member could be explained simply in terms of a I wouldn't say just psychological, I'd say a metaphysical phenomenon. You see? Of course, it's a person is a psychological being, but he's a metaphysical being. And there's a certain, there's a psychological unconscious, and that's the unconscious of the psychoanalyst, but there's a metaphysical unconscious. Yadis maintains that there's a metaphysical unconscious. And the metaphysical unconscious comes into play at different times. As a matter of fact, you have another pasuk also. The pasuk of the Rambam quotes, I think one of his letters. It's a pasuk in the Klolos. It says that when the Klolos would befall the Jews, so the pasuk says that these curses would be for you for an osin amofes with a zarach adolam. An osin amofes among who? An osin amofes among the other nations. So how do the, why do the other nations notice it as an osin amofes? I mean, they don't believe in the Torah. They don't believe in the Torah. Yeah, but if they say osin amofes, it means that they recognize that the Jew is being punished because he's abandoning his religion. That's the osin amofes. Otherwise, it's just they don't recognize anything. So you see from the pasuk, it's a pasuk in Kisavo, in the Klaus in Kisavo, which means to say that the rest of the world will recognize that the Vamu Kol Agayim, in itself, Vamu Kol Agayim, Me'osa Hashem Kocha Lorat Azaz, Mechori La'afa Gadla Zeb, Vamu, Al Asher Ozvu, Es Brisa Hashem Vakev Osam, Asher Karasim Vatim Vatim, who's going to be by the other nations? The other nations don't believe in it. But the answer is, that there is an unconscious part of man that doesn't recognize. Sukkot Torah. The Rabbeinu Yona says has a different approach. It says Gufo Mechubar Al Abrios. He says Min Hashamayim Messiah Sheyechabdu Abrios. Achar Shehu Mechabed Es Torah VeOsa Dvarim Shezacharno. So Rabbeinu Yona says, now, what does it mean? It means that the it means that it's min hashamayim, that God, through his hashgacha, will make sure that this person who honors the Torah will be honored. So it's a different aspect. It's not a natural phenomenon, according to him, but it's based upon the idea of hashgacha. You see, what kind of a concept is this? Min Hashamayim. I mean, what does it mean, Min Hashamayim? Min Hashamayim always sounds like every phenomenon. Min Hashamayim, that's it. How come the member says you do this? It's like, Min Hashamayim, that's it. It has to be something more to it than just Min Hashamayim. Now, there's another interesting statement in the test. It says like this. It says, Reb Yonah Sonoma, Kol ha-makayim es ha-Torah me'oni, sofa l'kayim ha-me'osha. Anyone that keeps the Torah out of poverty, the end will be that he will keep the Torah out of wealth. Out of wealth. Okay?
So what?
Oma, ki ha-osek b'Torah v'oni v'dal, person that's osek b'Torah, sits and learns Torah and he's poor, Vim kolze yitzar nafsho lasagba, and even in spite of that, the person will yitzar himself, cause himself pain, suffers, in order to be involved in Torah. Lasof yasagba me osher. The end will be that he'll be able to learn Torah from wealth. Ume asher lo yielo mashi yatridu, and from a situation in which he'll have nothing that will be disturbing it. Minakriya. A person who has wealth and is mafatl Torah, doesn't study Torah, so for the vatla meoni, then will be that he's going to be mafatl Torah because he's going to become poor, and he will have to spend his time trying to make a living. So it says like this. Same thing. Mishli asked to terminate Rov HaMomon with Asko B'maychal U'B'mishte U'B'minucho, because since he's very wealthy, so he's using his wealth to spend his time entertaining himself. Maychal Mishte U'B'minucho L'sof Yisroshesh V'yetza Lo Azman. In the end, what's going to happen is that he's going to become poor, and then he'll be in a situation in which he's in need. Ad sheyia sibas bitulo bekriya tirdaso bolechem lemacholo. And the reason why he won't be able to learn Torah will be because he'll have to spend his time trying to take care of his needs. That's what it means. Okay? So it's a very, when I saw this chazal, it reminded me of this other chazal, a very similar kind of a thing. And this definitely means, this would seem, means min hashamayim. It's an interesting thing. Over here, Rabbeinu Yonah explains it rationally. He says like this. That in the shadow of the of wisdom is the shadow of the silver. The shadow of silver. Which means to say, Rabbeinu Yonah basically learns it in terms of a natural phenomena. In other words, that if a person becomes a chacham, so it means he lives. This is a principle which most religious people probably don't accept. But concept is, Rabbeinu Yonah says openly, so the person that is a chacham will be able to apply his chachma to every area. So he'll be able to apply his chachma if he truly becomes a chacham. You see, that's the difference in Yadis and between other systems where they refer to chachma. And Yadis chachma means that the soul is permeated by knowledge. It means every aspect of his existence is determined by knowledge. It's a different kind of chacham. It doesn't mean he has knowledge. He has a certain amount of facts in his mind. But his whole personality is chachma. So the person, if the individual's personality is chachma, so then he'll be able to earn money easily, and he won't have to be concerned about making a living. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah says. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah says. The tzelach is a pasuk. The tzelach chokhmah, the tzelach kasuk. That's what it means. It means that the earning of money is a function of his the person's chokhmah. Interesting principle. Interesting principle. Yeah. But the Rambam doesn't seem to say that over here. The Rambam just seems to take it as it would seem from the Rambam. Well, I think like this. You see, I think there's an important principle here with regard to the concept of Hashgacha. I mean, we don't maintain that we understand the Hashgacha Hashem. I mean, that's the first premise that distinguishes us from other systems. Because in other systems, people feel the Hashgacha is a natural thing to them. What they expect is based upon their emotions of wish fulfillment. That's their idea of Hashgacha. Now, Yadis maintains that we don't understand it, on the contrary, that it's a dilemma. How is it possible that there should be such a thing? But we know factually that it is. Factually we know that it is, but we cannot comprehend it because we can't comprehend God. But I think that from these two chazal, you see, the Rambam over there, the Rambam is, why do I say the Rambam doesn't seem to say, it seems to be that it doesn't go, it's not an automatic thing, it's not a natural cause and effect. But it seems like the Rambam is like the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, where the Rambam says that all the brachas in the Torah that the Torah gave is not for the brachas themselves. You see? It's just like this. He says it's Hashgacha openly. In the ninth parak, he says, Kachu hecha kol advam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu nasan lanu in the Torah zu, Eitz Chaim hi. God gave us this Torah. It's a tree of life. V'chola osa kol ha-kosub av yodo deo gemura nechona. A person who does what is written in it and understands it soundly. He says, Zocha Bavachai Olam Haba. Ulufi Godel Maisav Rochach Masa Zocha. Hivtichona B'Torah. And the Torah promised us. Shem Nasa Oso B'Simcha V'Tuvas Nefesh V'Nega B'Chach Masa Tomid. That if we spend the time and involve ourselves in this in the study of Torah, in gaining the knowledge in Chachmas Torah, sheyasim imenu kol advar amonim asanu mila sosa ganchui umochama v'ra v'tiyotze b'ayim v'yashpi alana kol atzal.